Welcome to the Crossroads RTP podcast, brought to you by Research Triangle Park, where people and ideas converge. Bringing you expert guests on topics like community engagement, higher education, DEI, and emerging business in North Carolina's Triangle region. Interviewed by host Ray Trapp, Vice President of Strategic Engagement at RTP. This is where relationships meet collaboration.
And greetings. Thank you for joining us on Crossroads RTP, our podcast where we meet the intersection of all things Triangle, all things North Carolina, and all things having to do with everything that keeps us steady moving and keeps us forever groundbreaking. Today on this podcast, we have the ultimate experience to have with us the Brain Trust from the North Carolina Central University. So I'd like to introduce Dr. Gia Souble, who is the Vice Chancellor of University Advancement. Also, we have Dr. Catherine Edmonds, who is the Chief of Staff. And also Mr. Stephen Fusey, who is the Chief Brand Officer. We definitely want to get into this conversation and start talking about all the great things going on at NCCU, all of the amazing developments that have happened over the course of the last year, and how NCCU continues to push ahead in that higher education space. So I'm going to throw this out. We always throw one question just to start the conversation going. This is 100% a conversation, and that is what we'll do today. And I'll start with you, Dr. Souble. I see you first. Who do you consider a hero or a role model, and why?
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. I'm really excited for the opportunity to share this time with you today. My paternal grandmother was an early hero for me. She was the head nurse at one of the big hospitals in St. Louis. So that's where I'm originally from. So when I visited her during the week, during the weekend, I'd have to wake up very early in the morning before her shift. And we'd eat breakfast together while she shared her wisdom and life lessons with me, like killing people with kindness, functioning with integrity, assuming good intention. Actions speak louder than words, which was very fitting because she not only said those things, she did those things. And I didn't always appreciate those very early morning conversations, but they have definitely helped to shape who I am today. And I wish she were here so that I could tell her that.
Awesome. Amazing. I always love that when we have that in perspective, it shows us how you develop into being the person that you are. And so it makes perfect sense that you oversee university advancement and the cultivation of relationships with the university. So Dr. Edmonds, to you, Chief of Staff, tell us, hero, role model, and why?
Well, I have so many, but the number one person that's my hero, it's my dad. I'm a first generation college student. And my dad has a sixth grade education. He was the youngest in his family. So when his father passed away, he had to stop going to school to work. But what he always said to us is that education is the key. And now that I'm older and I hear him and my mom say quite often, we don't know how you got where you are, but we're so blessed and thankful that you are, that they didn't understand the path to get me here. But in their minds, they knew that if I could get to college, that I would be okay. And so many life lessons from my dad. He had five girls, so we were also his boys. So I could do quite a few things. I know how to farm. I know how to repair houses. You tell me what you need me to do, and I probably can do it, because that's the type of role model he was for all of his girls. And he said, anything that you do in life, you do it to the best of your ability or don't do it at all. There are people depending on you. So,
wow. That is amazing. I'll say that my dad also taught me the same thing, but he didn't teach me anything about farming or doing anything mechanical. So we were the opposite as far as that's concerned. He taught me that there are people that fix cars and they get paid to do that. So you allow them to do that. So kudos to your dad for instilling that in you. So that is amazing. Brother Stephen, want to come over to you, Chief Brand Officer, hero, role model, and why?
I share the same relationship to my role model as Dr. Edmonds, my father, Dr. Patrick Fusey. He's of late now, but he's inspired me my entire life. He grew up in a rural village in Cameroon, and he didn't hear about formal education until the age of 14. And he went from those rather humble beginnings to obtaining his PhD in education, opening a private university, and all of his seven children have gone on to college. His two oldest grandchildren are in college. And he's just been a fantastic role model for the transformational ability of education in one's life and the impact that you can have on other people's lives.
Absolutely. I think that leads me into the first question. And before we get really deep in this conversation, always have to say yes and always have to pay respect to the woman who keeps everything moving on Crossroads RTP and the woman who keeps me in line and keeps me in shape. Sarah, say hi to everybody. Let them know you're here.
Hi, everyone. It's great to see you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Sarah is truly the brains and the brawn behind all of this, which keeps us going. But why higher education? Why did you all focus on higher education and get into higher education? I hear it from it being the ultimate equalizer, but what personally pushed you into that direction? And we'll start with you, Dr. Edmonds, and then we'll go to Brother Fusey and then up to Dr. Soubert.
Sure. And I'll try to keep it short. But I began my career in K-12 education, wanted to be a teacher because there was a teacher that helped me navigate and get to college and made sure that I majored in math and did all of those things. So I wanted to be that teacher for students. As I went through and I became a principal, went into administration and was a superintendent in a school district, I bounced between higher ed and K-12. So when we look at the Leandro case that's happening right now in the state of North Carolina, I led that team that was doing the work in Halifax at the State Department saying students have a right to a sound basic education. It's in our Constitution. As we were doing that work, we realized that you got to have strong teachers and you have to have strong principals. Where's that pipeline? And so I decided, you know what, I want to go into higher ed, use what I know and help develop day one ready principals to go into schools. And from there, I went on to work at the systems office. And eventually went back into K-12 and got there, superintendent, was working at the state level and said to myself, where can I have the most impact? And I wanted to come back into higher ed. And so that's how I ended here.
Awesome. Awesome. Amazing story. Amazing going from K-12 to higher ed and back and forth and working at the system offices. So you've got to see education probably from every lens throughout the state of North Carolina. And that's great to have folks like yourself in those positions that have seen the various levels of education and that are able to connect the dots, because that's what we need. I think unless we have an education system where everyone can see how everything plays a part and how every role plays a part from early childhood to K-12, through on the higher education system, we have to have those people in place. Dr. Souple, talk to me, why higher education and why the advancement side?
Ooh-wee. So two very good questions. How long is it? Is this podcast?
you have as long as you need to get it out there and put it out there. I think advancement is crucial.
Yeah, I'll try my very best to give the shortest answer to this question. Everyone has a story about how they found themselves in development because you don't really go to school for that. So I actually majored in computer information systems and minored in business and math. And I did start out in MIS. But I was working for a nonprofit agency that funded local social service organizations in New Orleans when the COO asked me to serve as her special assistant. And among other things, I began to write policy for those agencies. So from there, I made a really natural transition to United Way, but on the community services side of the house. So that particular area staffs the volunteers who allocate money to the United Way agency. So in that work, I continued to monitor program performance. One day, while sitting in a room with volunteers to determine how to disperse funds, I was completely frustrated with the limited pool of money that we had to allocate to so many worthwhile agencies. So it was literally in that moment that I decided to put the big S on my chest and move to the fundraising side of the house. And that work was extremely fulfilling, being able to secure the resources for so many worthwhile agencies. But in doing that, someone from Dillard University reached out to me and asked that I apply for a major gift officer position. And the rest is history. The gratification that has come from securing resources that enable deserving students to earn college degrees and that have aided HBCUs specifically in acquiring resources that ensure that we have state-of-the-art facilities and programs has just, I can't even put in words. That is my motivation. And then working for the United Way agencies was good. I knew they were doing good work. But to be on a college campus with who we serve every day, they give me life every day. And being an administrator, not only being able to provide those resources, but provide input and be a part of the team that helps provide direction for our students, it's just been amazing.
Yeah, love that. And I love everything that you pointed out. I am a huge education advocate, always will, but I'm unapologetically an HBCU advocate. And so I think the role of university advancement is one where we're making great strides and getting to where we need to be. So I always love when I see someone in your position that understands it and that gets it. And we don't tell the woe is me HBCU story. We tell what we've been able to do with the resources that we have. Dr. Stefan, we're going to come over to you. Chief Brand Officer, big title. I love brands, and back to being an HBCU advocate, I think one of the things where we've made strides as HBCUs over the past two decades has been in brand and making sure that we stick to our brand and understanding what brand is and having everything be about that brand. So for you, why higher education, why NCCU, and why Chief Brand Officer?
I'm relatively new to higher education compared to my two colleagues. I started my career as an engineer and then moved into marketing in the corporate world and as an entrepreneur for quite a long time. And I decided on higher education because I saw the impact that it had, that you have on shaping younger minds to influence the state of the art and finding ways to make sure that the next generation of folks are properly trained and feel inspired to go out and change the world. At North Carolina Central University, I just saw it in part of my work prior to coming here. I was at Duke University and I had the opportunity to see so many interesting programs and people on this campus and throughout the Durham community. However, there were still many people who did not have firsthand knowledge of these great programs and people. And I thought that with the experiences that I have in telling stories, shaping brands in the corporate world, that I could be of some service to getting more of these stories out into the world. And so that's why North Carolina Central University, why working in brand is just there's so many interesting things happening, impactful stories to be told. And this is like a brand manager's dream to just pick up a product and be able to sell it. It's really, really fascinating to be able to do that.
Absolutely. I want to stay right here for a second with you, Stefan, and just talk more about HBCUs. I often find myself in conversation where I'll have someone say, oh, I don't understand why we need HBCUs. Why do we have to have HBCUs? And the historical context, why do they matter? So as the brand officer and the chief brand officer at a top five, top three HBCU in the country, tell us why.
Our university provides an inclusive environment for all backgrounds, cultures, and walks of life. This belief and commitment can be seen throughout the way we interact with our students, the way we interact with the faculty and staff, the way we have engagement with our local community, and increasingly the regional and national community. And so by the top-notch research that we're doing here, the accredited programs that we have here, all of those things go into why North Carolina Central University is a special place. And then you add on to that the location. We are right in Durham, minutes from downtown Durham, minutes from the Research Triangle Park. We have all of these interesting companies that are coming in looking for graduates, just like the ones that we are preparing here every day, whether that's in the liberal arts, whether that's in the STEM fields, nursing, the law school, all top-notch programs that hire or that produce remarkable graduates. And so that's what North Carolina Central University is all about. HBCUs in general are provide nurturing environments. And we do that, and we take it a step beyond that. What we affectionately call this campus is an oasis for nurturing the remarkable.
Absolutely. And I was in higher education prior to coming to RTP. And one of the things that I had HBCU students tell me over and over, and these are students that can go anywhere, and I ask people to please don't confuse students that come with HBCUs as this is their last choice. This is their first choice. They choose to come to HBCUs, to your point, to be a part of that nest and to have that encouragement and to see people in leadership positions that look like them, that give them that courage and that enthusiasm for when they step out into the world, that regardless of what that corporate boardroom looks like, they can be their authentic selves and can represent themselves from the education they receive at HBCU North Carolina Central. So Dr. Souble, when you're sitting down with that corporation and they come in there and they want to give you 1/5 or 1/10 of what they would give to a PWI, how do you make that case and you tell them why, if they don't come in there with the same intentions that they have when they sit down with any PWI, that we're not taking second, we're not taking less than what you would give anyone else?
No, absolutely. And that's the song that I sing, and that's what I teach my team, talking about why HBCUs matter. They matter because when no other institution understood that Black and brown people mattered, these institutions took care of their own and have continued doing so in a nurturing way like no others had been able to. Stefan used the word nurturing several times, and I used it just now. And for HBCUs, nurturing is not a cliche. It's who we are. And that's why we've got these diversity offices and things. Now, we have always embraced everyone and have encouraged all ethnicities and races to join us in our mission in helping students to achieve their goals. But HBCUs account for the education and success of countless numbers of graduates who may not have otherwise had the opportunity to earn degrees because, you know, we're accommodating and accepting the risk of enrolling students that PWIs oftentimes do not. And it's not that our students aren't bright and not talented. They're oftentimes the K-12 experience was different. Their access for different types of educational opportunities have been different. The fact that many of our students are first-generation college students, those parents don't know how to navigate in enrollment and admission. So, and we have, as HBCUs, been known across the globe as the nation's best-kept secret. And right now, which is why Stefan's role is so important for us, we cannot afford to be our nation's best-kept secret. So we have to boldly and unapologetically tell our story. I really do stand on our worth and have really open and candid conversations with donors who are inclined to give us contributions that resemble those of the larger institutions. I have really open conversations, and that's why I've been able to be as successful as I have in my role in advancement. When you establish really genuine, meaningful relationships, you can be open and honest and transparent. And respond genuinely to those types of those gifts are lower, I guess, than, you know, what we deserve, than what we are deserving. Specifically, I'll say that NCCU has been a staple in the Durham community in Bull City for over a century and has awarded degrees to over 40,000 Eagle who have served and excelled in every industry across the globe.
Yes, I love it. And I love to tell the story of NCCU. You've had governors, you've had politicians, you've had everybody walk through those doors at NCCU and be educated right there. And I think you hit one of the things on the head that I talk about with advancement, and that's just making sure that you understand your worth. And one of the things that I have come to hate or despise, and you shouldn't say hate or despise anything, but whenever I sit down with a corporation and we start talking about the Bright Institute at NCCU, and they tell me, oh, it's amazing, and it's the best kept secret. We don't want it to be the best kept secret anymore. I don't want to hear that phrase anymore. So we're here to do whatever we can to help you all to push that forward. And for Dr. Edmonds, let's talk about how this all comes together, because you've seen it from the system side. You've seen it from the K-12 side. And I think one of the things that HBCUs work well with, and it's one of the things when I have conversations about the HBCU MSI difference, any institution can become an MSI. Anyone can become an MSI. But an HBCU is a historically directed mission and founding to do just what you do. And also, I think that there's a retention and I think there's also a student success formula that HBCUs put in, like the Eagle Promise, which works in ways that some others fail to mention when they just look at numbers as far as recruitment is concerned. So can you talk about the Eagle Promise and about student success and how that all works together for the vision of the Chancellor's Office that you carry out on a day-to-day basis?
Absolutely. And I'm like, Ms. Safisi, I've been here since May 1, but but I have been a part of the community for quite some time. I grew up 25 miles from Durham. And so we know about North Carolina Central University and what it means for the community. My sister is a two-time graduate from Central. And when I think about the Eagle Promise, and what I like about that is that the chancellor, the institution, we're making a promise, not only to our students, but also to the community and to our business owners that are looking for our graduates as they leave here, that we're going to send you students. We're going to send you employees that are going to be day one ready. They're going to have those experiences. And that is so important because when you look at one of the things about a HBCU and one of the pieces that they addressed is that first generation college student who haven't had those experiences, who may not have gone into a business. My first experience of a college was when my high school took me to the university that I graduated from. It was my first time on a college campus. So the Eagle Promise is saying to our community and to our students, we're committed to ensuring that your needs are going to be met. We're going to ensure that you're productive citizens when you leave here. We're going to provide those leadership opportunities for you that you may not have been a part of prior to getting to us. And we're saying to the community and to business and organizations that when we deliver to you, our students, our graduates, you're getting the top of the line. And when we look at underemployment, unemployment, and the great resignation and trying to diversify the workforce, those businesses are now turning to HBCUs for support. So we see now more than ever that connection of how HBCUs are really helping to fill some gaps that traditionally we may not have been a part of, may not have been at the table. And so those are the things about being at North Carolina Central and being a part of the work here in Eagle Promise that makes me so excited.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's absolutely a historic time. And I think folks are understanding the value that HBCUs, workforce development, the community college system, a lot of those things bring to the table that traditionally they haven't looked at. And I think every single podcast that we've done, we've gotten to the talent discussion. And so Sarah and I have just completed visiting with the companies within RTP and asking them what was the number one thing that kept them up at night. So 55% of those companies, without a doubt, said diversity, equity, and inclusion. Number one priority. Another 30% said talent. So 85% of the companies in RTP that we talked to, I heard the same thing. They were looking for places to find diverse, equitable talent to bring to their organizations. Because what they found is that we have to keep up with that talent pipeline. We've had amazing announcements in the triangle over the past couple of years, even during a pandemic. But the only way that site selectors continue to pick this area is if we can keep up with the talent pipeline. So that means being partners with NCCU. So for you, Brother Stephan, and I'll give a disclaimer, I call Brother Stephan because he is my brother. We're members of the world's greatest fraternity, Phi Beta Sigma Incorporated. So yes, I always put that out there. But yes. How do you tell that story and how do you get the corporations to fully understand what NCCU brings to the table?
But I'll pick up on what Dr. Edmund was saying about the Eagle Promise. We tell our students that if they follow the roadmap that we have, that they'll be able to graduate in 4 years. This is important because students are concerned about the cost of education. They're also, when you think about students who may be first generation students and don't have the complete understanding just yet of what it takes to go from start to finish, we have the student services and student access programs on campus to help students who matriculate to successfully complete their degree. We have all sorts of nurturing, there's that word again, nurturing programs to help them to stay on campus, to navigate the classes to be able to have a good experience while they're here. We also promise in the Eagle Promise that you will get leadership opportunities while you're on campus. There are hundreds of student organizations on campus. There are many chances for you to practice, whether it's in the classroom through projects or internships with those employers that you're talking about, or other opportunities for students to be able to practice their leadership. We graduate students who are committed to community service. It's a requirement here at North Carolina Central University that you must do hours of community service. So whether that's working on the Fayetteville Street corridor, or it's somewhere else in Durham or surrounding county, helping other students or members of the community, we graduate students who are prepared to jump right into the corporate programs that these employers have, because they're also looking for employees that can help them with their ESG and other goals. And one more point that I'll make that we do in telling the story is that we promise that our students will have local, national, and international experiences while they're here. Whether that means get to do some study abroad types of opportunities, or you are engaging with multinational companies and thereby working with colleagues who are in other countries, or you're just going across the country to work during an internship and you have fellow students who are from around the country or outside the country, we promise that our graduates will have that well-rounded experience. These are the kinds of things that we talk about in addition to the accreditations and the wide breadth of degree programs that we offer on campus.
Backyard RTP is the place to be for local food, music, and more. Backyard is an indoor-outdoor venue built from upcycled shipping containers and a convenient location for friends from any part of the Triangle to meet up. The venue offers free, live music on Thursday afternoons and Friday evenings, game nights on Wednesdays, and weekend fitness classes and talent shows. All of the shops and eateries at Backyard RTP are locally owned, so the money you spend there stays in your community. Visit us and discover a new favorite place to shop, dine, or just hang out. For up-to-date vendor hours, menus, and the full calendar of events, visit BoxyardRTP.com and get ready to think inside the box. Boxyard RTP is located in 900 Park Offices Drive in Research Triangle Park.
Amazing. Dr. Soubelet, let's bring it to you. I'm trying to get all of this right and do it off memory so I don't look down at notes, but over the past couple of years, new student center, new College of Business.
Yeah.
Three new residence halls.
Yeah.
What's next? What do we have to look forward to next? What's coming?
Look, stay tuned. So yeah, we're super excited. And just when in interviewing my campus interview, when I saw all of the new construction, that was just really invigorating and really did it for me. Seeing progress, it's good. And we are so deeply rooted in this community, and for us to be growing right here in downtown Durham is really exciting. I really mean it. Stay tuned. We have more things in store that I'm not sure if I'm going to share. If that's something those listening to keep watching NCCU, don't blink on it.
I got you. Don't blink. I love that, and I love the growth for the campus and the new buildings, which bring excitement to the area and to the neighborhood. And as you say, NCCU is rooted in the community. And so many HBCUs are the economic development catalyst for the areas that surround them. And so we find that growth from the university spurs out into the community and continues to grow. So let's talk about higher ed from an economic development perspective. And Dr. Edmonds, you've seen it from all around, from different levels and at the system level and at the Department of Instruction. So talk a little bit about how you see NCCU playing a vital role in economic development as Durham continues to grow and as the region continues to grow and as the state continues to grow. I think NCCU has a vital and critical role in that economic development.
Absolutely. And I think you said it best earlier, is that each level of education understands their role in the bigger picture. Sometimes it's difficult to see when you're a kindergarten teacher, that what that looks like when a student is graduating from college. But when we look at the economic development, and we've had announcements of possibilities just this week of businesses that may be coming to our area, and we're so close to RTP and looking at the research that's happening there and how we're connecting with that. And at North Carolina Central, we have two research centers, the Biomanufacturing Research Institute and Technology Enterprise, the Bright Center, and the Julius L. Chambers Biomedical Biotechnology Research Institute. And I know we're going to get to some of that later in terms of what that impact is, but I think it's worth mentioning right now, as well as when we talk about the connection that we have with RTI, the Center for Applied Research and Environmental Sciences, and thinking about how our students are getting those experiences and internships while they are on our campus. And talking about the community service piece that Mr. Fusi talked about, but when we look at that internship opportunities, and that's something that the chancellor has talked with me directly about in expanding opportunities for our students so that when they step out into the workplace, they already have some thoughts about what does that look like for me? How do I contribute to the economic growth of my community? But also looking at how North Carolina Central is partnering with the different areas in Durham. When we look at the city council and things that are happening with our chamber, what are our connections with that? So we're trying to reach out and touch all of those pieces so that we can know what's coming in our area and make sure that our students are prepared for those opportunities.
No, I love that. We can stay right there. We can talk about research, because one of the big things that I'm a big fan and big proponent of HBCUs furthering research. I think the fact that there's not an R1 HBCU in the country is something that we have to continue to work towards until we have, out of the 107, that at least 10%. Are R1 research facilities. And so I think that's something that we have to continue to push forward on, and have to continue to push forward on economic development. Early on in higher ed, I thought economic development for HBCUs in higher ed was strictly the physical around them. But it was once I got there and I started learning about how the PWIs did it, and how Duke did it, and how Carolina did it with intellectual property, and making money off economic development off of intellectual property and off of research, and how that's the final frontier for so many HBCUs, is to step into that space. And how do we make that transition from being in survival mode when it comes to economic development to truly prospering? So I'm open to whoever wants to talk about it, but I think it's great, Dr. Edmonds, that we stick right there and talk about research and all the great things that NCCU has going on and how we get to that next level of research.
And I'm happy to kick it off, and I'm sure Dr. Sinclair and Mr. Fusi will definitely come in behind and talk about some specifics of things that are happening here on the campus. But going back to the piece that you said about a Research One University and not having a HBCU that is a Research One University, one thing that the chancellor is really big on is how do we move North Carolina Central from a Research Three to a Research Two? He's right. We know it's a process. Yes. It's not something that happens overnight, but he has his eye on that for North Carolina Central and putting the components in place to ensure that we will be able to move through that continuum. And then we know that the next step would be moving to that Research One. But we definitely are looking at how do we become a Research Two university, and that's part of his strategic planning. And I think I'll have Mr. Fusi or Dr. Soublé to talk about some of those pieces that are on our campus, like the Bright Center and the connection that we have, or the partnership that we have with RTI, and what that means for our students.
Sure. I'll jump in on that. I'll just touch on a few of these. We do a lot of interdisciplinary work. We find that collaborating with other research centers, other universities, and private institutions can be a force multiplier for us. It helps to generate basic research, and it also helps to create products that can be transformational. For example, we have the Research Institute for Scholars of Equity, RISE, and they work with social equity. This is a program where students are able to come in from other universities and they get year-round mentorship and support to prepare for doctoral studies in mixed methods education research. It's a pretty interesting program that's just been renewed. And this is the second time this program will be going on. We have research for health impacts on underserved populations. The RTI Center for Applied Research in Environmental Sciences, or CARES, which is what Dr. Edmonds was talking about, that was just launched not 2 months ago. And there's a facility on site at RTI. That one's very important. RTI is a huge, fantastic research institution. And being able to work with them to further our mission of understanding what goes on in underserved populations, to the point about HBCUs being ahead of the curve in caring about underserved populations, it's just natural that we would seek out like-minded groups and do formal work with them. One more I'll talk about is work that's been ongoing studying cancer and its impact on health disparities. This is a program that's been going on with Duke, between North Carolina Central University and Duke, for quite some years, studying particular cancers, breast cancer, for example, and prostate cancer, where these have disproportionate negative impacts on underserved populations. So those are just a few of the many programs that are going on around campus.
Yeah, and there's really not too much to add to what they said, but I will just kind of ditto. I know that the chancellor and the provost right now are laser focused on elevating our posture in research, again, to the R2 institution. And the research, the active and really impactful research that's happening on campus really can help to elevate our posture and expand our reach, really. So it's exciting, and more people are beginning to learn about that, the activity that's happening on campus. And I'm excited to extend those opportunities for people to join us in that research, to partner with us, to impact further what we're doing in those spaces.
Amazing. So I want to go around the board and give us one thing that if you could tell folks about NCCU that they may not know, give them that one jewel about NCCU that they may not know.
That's a great question.
That is a great question.
I'm going I was ready to say, what's that one great thing about NCCU that then you said that people don't know?
Let's see. I've been here just a month, just like Dr. Edmonds, and there's so much that is new to me. So I'm in the same boat. I feel like this is new to me. I'm not sure if it's new to everyone. I'll just give a generality here that there are remarkable stories being built every day at this university, from the first generation student who wasn't quite sure if college was for them, who goes on to become a judge and, you know, goes to law school, becomes a judge and is out there changing the world, to the student who actively was deciding between going into the Ivy League or a major, a large private PWI institution, and saw the nurturing that is happening on this campus. They had interactions with the faculty and staff on a tour and chose North Carolina Central University because of the remarkable nature of the people that they met along the way. These are stories that the majority of people who don't have a direct connection to North Carolina Central University don't know about, and that is our collective job to begin telling more of those stories in a relatable way.
And I'll just pull right from what Mr. Fusi has said. When I think about the parent who's sending their student off to college and to the university, and they're a little bit nervous, something that I've seen since I've been on the campus is the supports that are in place for our freshman students, the number of activities that are in place to have them connect. And before they become a student in August to be on the campus full time, they have the SOAR program So they're learning a lot about what happens on a university, but then they have their mentors in the university college work that really focuses in on students in their freshman year being successful. And I think that is so huge for parents to know that you have folks on this campus that care about your student, that's looking out for your student, and that we are here to support them.
Perfect. Dr. Soublet?
I'd say that a lot of people don't know. We talked a little bit about the new School of Business, and we're excited about that, too, hopefully, with the supply chain shortages with Windows, I think, is a new thing now that we're lacking in supply for. It's pushed back the opening to the spring semester. But I will say, just since we're talking about the School of Business, that they have an accreditation that we are the only HBCU that has its accreditation. It's the AACSB, I believe, accredited.
That's right.
That's something that a lot don't know. So when we're building this fabulous facility, we have equally fabulous programming that will enter that facility. So that's one thing. And just a ditto to what Chief Edmund said, we are innovatively and responsively transforming the lives of our students, you know, who leave here competitively market ready to serve industry and lead communities, and that we embrace every opportunity to engage with the local community to promote and enhance mutual interest. You know, so a lot of people, we're doing our thing and we're on campus. We are in the Durham community and we embrace the Durham community. And what possibly people don't really know or understand is that we are here to exist with the community. And we want to know what are the needs and what are the objectives of our community and potential community partners so that we might address those things together. And especially in the RTP community, with so many new corporations coming in, a lot of them have, you know, some areas of corporate responsibility or corporate community objective, but we want to even know what your corporate objectives are beyond talent acquisition. How can NCCU help you to fulfill your corporate objectives? So we invite everyone to have conversations with us about how NCCU can contribute to that.
Yes. And I'll tell you, one of the things that Sarah and I do on a day-to-day basis is try to figure out strategic engagements and strategic ways to connect higher education and connect corporations. And so you have our vow that we'll help and we'll assist in any way that we can to make those connections, and definitely moving up that research ladder, we are committed to helping the university in any way possible. And we have the resources that we have at RTP, which we pledge to make that happen as well. Chancellor Akinyele is an amazing member of our board, and we've always been able and willing to do whatever he needed from us as a foundation to move the university forward. And that still stands right to this day.
Yeah, we greatly appreciate your support. You have been so helpful to all of our efforts. So we appreciate you very much.
We were able to come to the ribbon cutting for the new student center, which was amazing. I was thinking a hidden gem was that big auditorium in there where you all might hold some events or concerts. I heard that's very exciting. It's a beautiful facility. So thank you.
Thank you for pointing that out, because that auditorium is available for rent.
That's what can be not known.
You have a huge party you want to do, or you want to put on a concert or anything, please let us know. It is available right on the corner there on Fayetteville. So it's open to the public.
Look at that. On brand. Chief Brand Officer, on brand. Amazing. Thank you all for being with us. It is always a pleasure whenever we can spend time with folks in our community that are making a difference and truly bringing North Carolina to the next level. I love to always talk about NCCU and always talk about North Carolina's HBCUs, because they are truly second to none. And just in terms of sheer enrollment, you all are number 4 as far as largest HBCUs in the country, 4 or 5.
We shipped in. And I want to say 6 now.
Okay. That's what I know it goes somewhere between that range, but that is the dynamics and that is how strong North Carolina HBCUs are. So thank you. And until next time, no stagnation, forever groundbreaking. Meet us at the crossroads.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Crossroads RTP. If you found this content valuable, please consider rating us on Apple Podcasts so more people can join the conversation. And follow us on social media at HubRTP, at TheRTP, and at BoxyardRTP to watch us grow. For more information on RTP and the Foundation, visit rtp.org. This show was produced at Podcast Carry.